Hello, America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host and most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Chris Logie. Say hi, Chris.
Hello.
Yeah. So, once again, it's a small house here, but we definitely ain't short on topics. Because this week, probably one of the handful of people in Congress I absolutely hate the most may be on the outs now, because it turns out that he's tied up with pretty much the one thing that those skeezballs don't like getting out into public.
Yeah.
Yeah. But because this is the individual we're talking about, it just gets weirder and weirder from there, because apparently he just can't keep his mouth shut. But we also had some other stuff, including, I think this happened today, this random dude tried to ram his car into the barricade at the U.S. Capitol, ended up killing himself and one cop and injuring another. We'll be talking about that, because that one is especially odd. Also, Derek Chauvin's trial has been going on this weekend. Whoo, boy. Yeah, I know that, you know, the defense attorneys, they have a job to do, but yeah, it really doesn't look good. Also, we got an update on that giant boat that got stuck in the Suez Canal. And we got a bunch of entertainment news, including a certain franchise coming back again. And yeah, we're also getting an anime based on a particular franchise we're all fairly fond of here over at Smash Bad. But we'll be getting to all that and more on this week's edition of Let's Weekend. So, start us all off. Let's always start us off. Chris, what have you been doing this week?
Well, I got my first shot of the vaccine.
That's good.
Yeah.
How you feeling?
I've had zero symptoms from it.
Okay, well, did you get it just today?
No, Monday.
Okay, well, in that case, maybe it's, I have heard some people say that they don't start really feeling any of the symptoms until after they've gotten the second shot. So,
yeah.
Which, by the way, when are you supposed to go back?
In about 3 weeks or so.
All right.
Yeah, it was weird. So I got there early, did all the paperwork stuff, answered their questions and all that. They were going over the allergies that I had. And one of them was such that they asked me to stay 30 minutes afterwards, just to make sure, because it's just in case I have like an adverse reaction that could cause like my throat to swell. That was like the only thing I felt afterwards, and I think it was more psychosomatic, because I was like swallowing more than usual, and it's like, this seems different. It's because I'm forcing it, like an idiot. That kind of thing. But I stayed for 30 minutes, listened to a podcast while I was waiting. Everything seemed okay, and went home. Like, the only real thing is like the specific injection spot's a little sore. That's because it was an open wound for a bit. But otherwise, no sore arm, nothing. I was surprised by that.
Yeah.
So luckily, it wasn't too
much. So no, like, flu-like symptoms or anything like that.
Just no. Nothing that felt any different than usual.
Yeah. What about like having a hard time like concentrating?
No.
No? Okay. See, I had someone who also, after they got the second shot, they said, like, the one big thing they had is that their cognitive faculties were a little hard to focus on one particular thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm still planning on getting mine. It's just a matter of me getting able to get in touch with the health department to get it. But, yeah.
Yeah. So that went pretty well.
Yeah. Which brand vaccine was it?
It was the Pfizer.
Ah, the Pfizer. Okay.
Yep. They gave me my card, vaccination card, and I got a sticker. A Walgreens specific sticker.
Very good.
And I got some paperwork, I guess.
Yeah.
Just in case anything goes wrong. One was like FAQs type stuff about the vaccine and all that.
Yeah. Have there been any news of like people giving out like of like restaurants giving out like free food if you show them your vaccine card?
I think Krispy Kreme is the one that got big. I don't know about any other specific ones.
Good to know. There's a Krispy Kreme just down the street.
Yeah, I found out there's one. It's like a 25-minute drive, which is like just long enough. I was like, nah. If I want a donut, I'll just go to the one of the two or three Dunkin' Donuts that are near here.
Yeah.
And get some for the amount of gas that would cost to go up there. Mm. I think it's like, I forget what the Krispy Kreme thing was for. I think it was like one a day, free one a day.
Mm.
For getting your vaccine, which is weird.
Yeah. Was there like a big line when you got there? Or?
No.
All right.
I think one person was just sitting there either waiting for their prescription stuff or whatever.
All right.
Or maybe just their observation thing, just hanging out for a bit. You know, like the shot itself just didn't hurt at all.
All right.
It was like, I had more trouble with the eye puff part of the eye exams.
Mm-hmm.
They just puff a bit of air into your eyes. Like, that's way more painful than the shot was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've gotten a flu shot before. It's basically the same thing, so.
Yeah. Okay, so this Krispy Kreme site says, starting Monday, March 22nd, anyone who shows their COVID-19 vaccine record card will receive a free original glazed donut.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, just need to show your vaccination record card.
Uh-huh.
At least one of the two shots.
Yep. So, all right. All right. Good to know. So what else you been doing?
This week has been the April Fool's weather week.
Because
I worked Tuesday through Friday. Tuesday was a high of 70.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday was like a high of about 50.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday was a high of about 30, and it snowed a bunch. It really kind of asshole snow, where it's super windy. The snow would occasionally get light for a bit, and they get heavier, just blow it all in your face. Like, just getting out of my car, getting my stuff and going in, I was covered in snow.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it was just fucking falling down faster than I could get inside.
Mm-hmm.
Then today it was like about a high of 40 or so. So it's, I think it's supposed to get 50s tomorrow, then 60s on Sunday, and back up to like the 60s and 70s for the rest of the week after that. So it's like, I was like, yesterday was perfect April Fool's weather. Mother Nature was saying, fuck you.
Yeah.
We were thinking this was over.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was the weather for this week. Glad to be done with that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as for other stuff, haven't been doing too much because I've been working a lot. Been just exhausted afterwards, but managed to watch the new episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Also been kind of watching some of the old MCU stuff, kind of rewatch things in the context of the more recent stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I finished up the first phase, which is Iron Man 1 and 2, Thor, Captain America, and the first Avengers movie.
Yeah.
I'd already seen the first Iron Man and Captain America within the past couple months, so I didn't rewatch those, but I had forgotten Iron Man 2 is where they introduced Black Widow.
Yep.
So that was fun to see. And that's like the best part of that movie, because I don't really like the rest of it. It's just kind of uninteresting for the most part, other than just adding to MCU lore.
Yeah.
But Thor was pretty all right. Kind of boring for a bit when he's just kind of, I'm on Earth now. I'm, you know, man out of his home kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like dealing with life on Earth kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would probably say I like that more than Iron Man 2. And then the Avengers, which is pretty good, but it's kind of so boring for a while because it's just it's all set up for like the first half of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
As Loki's like doing his stuff. And the Avengers are kind of figuring out if they actually want to work together or not. All that kind of stuff as they get bicker at each other.
Mm-hmm.
All that kind of stuff. And then they decide, yeah, we should probably do this. And then the rest of it gets pretty good by the end.
Yep.
So that stuff's neat. Yeah, I got my 10 terabyte hard drive in from Newegg to put in my PC, which is a hell of a lot of space.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to the 2 terabyte I've been dealing with, so I moved all that over. I have been like trying to download stuff as I can.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it just being like giant bomb videos that I get the itch to watch, download, watch, then delete because I need the space. I can just download them, watch them whenever. No, I have to delete because, hey, who cares? I still got seven more terabytes of room. So fuck it. I'll download whatever I can at this point, basically. That's been pretty much it for watching stuff. For playing stuff, I've been playing some of the Avengers game, which I've done enough to the point where I think we're about to go find Tony Stark. So kind of starting to get into a groove there. And the big carrier is starting to wake up a little bit, which is nice. Then I just decided, for whatever reason, to hop into the online stuff, which starts with a weird whole cutscene about... that takes place post game, where it's like, all the Avengers are back together, even the one that they said is dead. I didn't know he wasn't actually dead, but you know, it is with comic stuff. But they all had their very basic costumes, so it's like Tony Stark with his like ramshackle mask and you know, his arm cannon thing, all that. I think Thor still has his like, my name is Thor sticker on a shirt, random things, just like all this basic looking stuff. Cause I haven't beaten the game and gotten like better outfits. I assume whatever their outfits they are that they wear later in the game, or maybe they don't, I don't know. I haven't beaten it yet, so I don't know. But I assume they get traditional outfits like they start with in the game. But I started playing some of that and seeing what that had to offer. So it's like the whole ship has everything in it. Cause it's, you know, post game. Campaign. But when you go do missions, all the areas are opened up and they have a selection of missions, and instead you can match up with people if you want, or you can just say, hey, put these three people in my party as AI and we can just go do missions.
Yep.
So you don't have to play it as like a multiplayer or co-op thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to. But it was real weird because, you know, I only have like 2 characters that are above level 1.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, playing as Tony Stark for a bit. I was just getting, like, the loot I was getting early on was, like, I was level 1, the same thing that he's already got equipped by default.
Mm-hmm.
But after, like, my second mission, I think I was starting to get better stuff dropping. That stuff is all still kind of weird, but because then there's, like, vendors and there's daily missions you can get from a couple of factions, all that kind of Destiny stuff in there. There are like battle passes for each of the characters, which are all free, as far as I can tell. And you get cosmetics out of that. Some are just like, oh, here's, you know, a gamer card for goes under your name when you like match up with people, that kind of stuff that they'll see. I think there's some costume stuff in there. Mm-hmm. Avatars that also goes in your gamer car, that kind of stuff. It's weird. It's all very Destiny and online game-ish. That's probably didn't need to be there,
mm-hmm.
Based on how popular that stuff is. Yeah, so that's all weird, but still kind of need to kind of play through. And since I paid like $8 for the game, I don't feel that obligated to like beat it if I don't feel like it. But been liking it so far when I've been jumping into it. The Hulk stuff is probably the weirdest of the controls, because he has lots of, you know, moves you expect. And there's some that's like when you charge some of the attacks for different characters, they have different kinds of things going on. But him, like, you can jump into the air and like do a like power elbow drop kind of thing. But he just like fucking hangs in the air, so he gets real vulnerable to enemies that are shooting at you.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Especially turrets and such. One of the missions I did with him is one where you just go and hang out in these circles, and that lets your like Jarvis hack better as you fill it up. And I just had Hulk standing here as like turrets are wailing at him and he was coming up, and that's the only time I ever got downed while playing the game, because just everybody's just wailing on me. My AI teammates weren't able to keep up so much, so I had to like run out of the circle and just bust up some fools before I could actually continue on. So that that was neat. Also been playing Ratchet & Clank, the PS4 game. Mm-hmm. So I just got an update this week to make it 60 FPS on PS5s. Which I jump into where I left off, which was the Clank is part of the Galactic Rangers, and they go back to the factory that like Clank comes from. Ratchet's part of the Galactic Rangers. And so it was like right before a boss fight in that big factory room. And that was like where I was relearning the controls and all that. Because basically at this point I've maxed out everything.
Yeah.
All the weapons are fully upgraded. So all the bolts and raritanium and all that I'm getting matter zilch to me. They don't matter at all. They're just weird things that just keep popping up. I'm like, I do not care about any of this because it's not useful. Mm-hmm. Like, you can use the bolts to, you know, top up your health and ammo if you need to, which is fine. But the last trophy I have to get is to make all the enemy types in the game dance. It does give you no way to tell which ones you have not done. And so that means I'm just going through the levels, just throwing out the disco ball, making them dance. Maybe pull out Mr. Zircon. I think it's called Mr. Zircon Jr. To go and zap them, whatever. It's just like having to go this like bit by bit, make sure I get everybody dancing, because who knows if the one that I'm missing, it might just be bosses that I haven't done it to. Because some of these early ones might be the ones before you get that weapon unlocked. I don't know, but that's like super annoying. Kind of the one that you, if you're going for the platinum, is probably the one you're going to get hung up on the most. So, yeah, that was fun jumping into it and realize, oh yeah, I can fly around. That's the whole part of this level thing that they added. So that's neat. Might keep trying to play that a bit more, but also been playing some more of the Tony Hawk 1 and 2 remastered, whatever it's called. Playing some more of the campaign stuff. Also realized there's like a third campaign in there that is based around weird objectives. It's there's speed running, which is like, how fast can you do all of the objectives in sort of one run sort of thing, which is not too hard. It's just a matter of, you know, actually doing them. So it's like, oh, this is a neat little extra thing. And satisfies some of the challenges that it has in there. That's, you know, like, and I played some multiplayer too, because I was like, I haven't tried this yet. I wonder if people are still playing this. And yeah, they still are. I managed to win one round. And it's purely because there's like three people in. Hadn't match made more people into the game yet. So I won one that was just, one of the graffiti ones, which is I do tricks on these different parts of the level. And whoever has the highest score gets credit for that section of the stage. It was the, I forget what the area is. It's the one little like skate park that's self-contained. It's got like a couple of bowls in there that you can screw around in. Pretty small area, so it's just like pretty easy. And then it moved on to like the one of the school levels, and that was just chaos trying to compete with people. It's like, oh, pulling off a million points easy in this like 30-second session. It's like, all right, I'm fucked ever trying to win again in this. But, you know, you can still have fun. So that's been pretty much it. How about you, Brandon?
Yeah, well, I, for those who don't know, I think it was either Tuesday or Wednesday. I think it was Tuesday. Disco Elysium, the final cut, finally became available for consoles. Well, yeah. I know PS4, PS5, and I think PC also.
Yeah, I got to say right now it's 20% off for launch, so I picked that up and started it yet.
Yeah, it's yeah, that game is very much okay. So I, you know, I played a lot of the original on my laptop back when it first came out, and absolutely adored it. The game that you get now, that you can get now, the new Disco Elysium, has a few updates. For one thing, it's now fully voiced. There's full voice acting instead of just a few handful of characters that you encounter. The animation for the characters has been touched up a bit, so it doesn't look quite as, I guess, jerky as it did in the original PC version. There's also been some new areas and storylines added to the overall game itself. I haven't actually gotten any of those yet because I've only just started playing, but you'll get it eventually if you know what you're doing. Other than that, it's basically they took a masterpiece and somehow made it even better, which is amazing. And in many ways, this game is probably like the most pure example of like a tabletop RPG in video game form that you'll ever encounter. And the irony is that it almost completely defies every stereotype of what a traditional RPG looks like. So Disco Elysium is created by Zaum Games, Z-A-U-M, or Z-A/U-M. Which is created by, well, it's headed by, and the game was designed and directed by Robert Kurvitz. And he basically based it on the Elysium Dungeons & Dragons campaign that he created years ago. And the thing is, when the game starts off, it looks very much like a standard sort of down-and-out, sort of hard-boiled noir detective story. But once you actually leave the hotel room that you start in, the game's world basically opens up, and it becomes very clear very quickly that this is not our world. This is very much an alternate world that has various hints of having been at one, having similarities to our world, but a lot of things are very different. And technology itself, although a lot of it is vaguely similar, has also taken drastically different turns. Like, for example, one of the things you end up first encountering, of course, is because you're a detective. Of course, that means you have a police car. But you actually get to the police car, and the police car doesn't look like a police cruiser. It looks like a gasoline-powered stagecoach. That's just like one example. Even things as simple as like firearms, the gun that you use looks like no gun that you use in our world. It looks much more like a larger version of a Derringer. The way politics work and their symbology are also different. Even like the way that the world and that universe operates is different, because unlike, well, I'll save it for when I get to, When we talk more about the game on the Day Zero update. But yeah, the game is absolutely worth playing, and part of what makes it so much fun is how unbelievably unpredictable it is, because one of the things that happens very early here that I had forgotten about, because it's been a while since I'd played the game on my PC, when you wake up and you go down to the like kitchen area that's at the bottom floor, you end up talking to the dude behind the counter, and you find out that you've actually run up a tab that you need to pay. And you got a decision there. You can either pay the tab, or you can try and make a break for it to the door. And you don't have any money, so you basically only have one option, and that's try to make a break for it. So you choose that option, and in your head, you're thinking, okay, so he's probably going to, like, do, like, one of those things where he's, like, you know, shuffles his feet and then just takes a dash to the door. Instead, what you end up doing is you end up making a straight dash for the door. Then midway through, you end up trying to turn around, give the dude behind the desk the double finger, and end up tripping over a wire and then crashing into an old lady in a wheelchair. And that's just the type of random shit that happens in this game. It's amazing. And the great thing is, there really is no right or wrong way to play the game. I mean, obviously, there are ways that you can die, but that's about it. You can play an absolute paragon of justice, or you can play an absolute train wreck of a human being. Both are completely valid, plot-wise. Yeah, so other than that, I also downloaded Genshin Impact, and I decided to start playing that a bit. And it's, you know, it's, I haven't been able to play it as much, but, you know, it's all right. I'm liking it so far. Let's see, what else? Book collecting. I went to the used bookstore, and I managed to find all three original paperback editions of The Lord of the Rings that were published in the, I think it was 1967, 1968, the authorized versions. This is kind of a big deal, because this is the version that made The Lord of the Rings become like a pop cultural phenomenon in the 1960s. And it's even got like all three of them have like the original cover art that was used for them when they were originally published. And you put all three of them together and it makes one continuous image. And so, yeah, that was a really good find. And they were cheap, too. It wasn't particularly expensive or anything. And other than that, I'm just kind of anticipating shit. Nier Replicant comes out later this month, and I'm obviously looking for that, and also some other things that come down the wire I'm excited about, but I'll get all those when they happen. So yeah, that's basically everything I've been doing. You got anything you want to add, Chris, before we move on?
Nope.
Okay. All right then. Well then, it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And today I thought I would clear up a little bit of a, shall we call it, a historical mistake that people sometimes make when it comes to American history. So do you remember, and I know you probably remember because I sure as hell do, no matter how much I wish to forget it. Do you remember after Barack Obama won the presidency back in 2008, that all of a sudden, I think it was into 2009 or so, you started seeing all of the basically angry white people that were protesting against taxes. They started wearing the tri-corner hats, and they started calling themselves the Tea Party and shit.
Yeah.
Because for those who don't know, all of those people basically became QAnon. yeah, you remember that, because that was the whole idea, was they were trying to bring a correlation to the sort of like what's considered to be like one of a handful of major events leading up to what would become the American Revolution and the American War of Independence, which was the Boston Tea Party, right? Because, you know, they said, you know, they went and they dumped all that tea in the sea to protest against, you know, no taxation without representation. So we're trying to do that too. And yeah, it's bullshit. Let me be honest. If you've taken high school, if you took grade school history like I did, you know what the actual Boston Tea Party was done for. But unfortunately, a lot of people do not get that message. So I've decided that for this week, I'm going to go ahead and just basically tell you why the Boston Tea Party happened. Because it wasn't actually about an existing tax, nor was it actually a protest against the practice of taxation itself, as a lot of these people apparently thought it was. No. The reason the Boston Tea Party happened is as follows. Back in 1767, the British Parliament passed what's known as the Townshend Acts, which among these included the Stamp Act and the Tea Act. And these were fairly blatant attempts to try and drain the colonies of their money. So as you can imagine, the Americans who were living in the colonies were not too happy about this. So there are a few violent protests, and eventually all of those taxes except one were removed. The one that wasn't removed was the Tea Act, that tax on tea. Now, again, you're thinking, all right, so we got this tax on tea. Is that the reason they decided to have the Boston Tea Party? No. People did find the tax on tea annoying, yes. But it wasn't actually what was stirring people to action. The actual tax itself was fairly modest. And people often forget that at that point in time, most Americans had gotten to a point where they had kind of stopped liking tea to begin with. They thought it was like a symbol of, you know, rich upper class British living. And there were even preachers who decried it as a recreational drug. Yeah. I mean, cause again, this is the American colonies and, well, you know, the history of puritanical bullshit in this country, but anyway. What actually caused the Boston Tea Party is not a tax, but a tax break. See, in 1773, Great Britain decided to give a tax break to the East India Company. Do you know what the East India Company was?
I know the name. I forget what the overall thing was.
Well, the East India Tea Company was essentially a mercantile guild slash monopoly that had direct backing by the British government, and it was involved in shipping all kinds of various goods, and tea just so happened to be one of them, because, you know, they got most of their tea supply from, you know, East India and southern China, right?
Yeah.
So because they got this tax break, that meant that the East Indian Company could go over to the colonies, they could unload millions of pounds of surplus tea for pure 100% profit and not have to pay a cent in taxes, which basically meant that all of the bootleggers and the legitimate competitors that were also trying to sell tea in the colonies basically ran them out of business. It's essentially like, imagine if, you know, everybody wanted some Coca-Cola. Well, everybody wanted soda. And the United States government decides they're going to go to Coca-Cola. Well, actually, not even Coca-Cola. They're going to go to fucking Walmart. And they're going to say, we're going to give all the tax breaks on you for selling any type of Coca-Cola you want at pure profit. Hell, we'll even help supply you with the stuff. And then basically all it ends up running like all the other grocery stores and convenience stores and shippers and boot and all those people out of business. So as you can imagine, there would be a lot of pissed off shopkeepers. And this was basically the last straw. Basically, a lot of hardline patriots considered it excessive meddling in colonial affairs. They thought it was the step too far that finally broke everything. They did bring back that old no taxation without representation slogan. But it's important to point out that this was not a protest against high taxes or the action of taxation itself. It was, we want to say on the taxes that are being charged in this territory, irrespective of what those taxes may end up being. Obviously, that's hard to fit on a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
So eventually what happened, you probably know of what the story of the actual Boston Tea Party is. A group of members of the Sons of Liberty, they dressed up in faux Native American attire. They boarded a ship in Boston Harbor. dumped a bunch of crates of tea into the ocean, so much so that you can still find tea leaves still at the bottom of Boston Harbor, and there are people who've made a cottage industry of, like, selling little bottles of water with authentic tea leaves from the Dawson Tea Party still down there. You know, they also, like, broke a bunch of them with hatchets. And then after it was done, they all basically got off the ship and left. And a lot of people don't realize this. This wasn't exactly a popular, like, action that everyone got behind when it originally happened. No less individuals than George Washington and Ben Franklin said that this was, you know, it's like they scolded them for this vandalism of private property. Which, let's be honest, that kind of makes them sound like the people that, you know, yeah, they'd be scolding the BLM protesters for a couple of broken shop windows, you know? But, yeah, basically what finally, like, kickstarted the whole, like, affair that united most of, you know, the slim majority of Americans against the British was the reaction by the British, wherein they started, you know, they occupied Boston, they started confiscating weapons, and eventually that led to the altercation in Lexington that eventually became the battles of Lexington and Concord, and that's what caused the Boston Tea Party. It wasn't some anti-tax protest, it was the fact that a government had decided to give a massive tax break to a monopoly that screwed other competitors out of business. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. Okay, so with that out of the way, it's now time to start the show proper. And as always with the show proper, we start off with the assholes of the week. And our massive asshole of the week, or at least our primarily asshole of the week, is Representative Matt Gaetz, who, I mean, obviously there are several reasons we could have declared this guy asshole of the week several times over by this point, because he's just an asshole. Like, he is genuinely an asshole. People who work in Congress do not like the guy. He's combative. He's mean-spirited. He constantly talks down to everyone. He's just not a pleasant individual. And
Liz Cheney, where he went to her state. Like, oh, I'm doing a better job than she is.
Yeah, and refused to wear a mask the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's now the subject of a Department of Justice investigation since last fall, apparently. Because apparently it came out that he had paid cash for sex with an underage 17-year-old girl.
They're investigating it because the whole thing is that his associate...
Yeah, it ties into this thing that
Joel
happened.
Greenberg.
Yeah, it ties into this dude who was like the tax collector for Seminole County in Florida. Apparently got...
he was indicted last year for allegedly trafficking a teenage girl for sex in 2017.
Yeah.
So they're investigating whether Gaetz was involved in this.
Yeah, and it looks like he might have been.
Yeah.
I mean, the initial stuff
of this came out and people were like, oh, it's the Biden administration going out for a Republican. It's like, no, it's been going on since last year when Trump was in office.
Yeah. So, and here's the thing. Had he simply said, I deny the allegations against me, I'm confident that the investigation will clear my name, and just left it at that, it probably would have been in the news cycle for maybe a couple of days, if not a week, and then everybody would have forgotten about it.
Yeah, because, like, you got initially some people being like, oh, I stand behind Matt Gaetz. But as more of the stuff came out, everybody got quiet.
Yeah, so basically, here's the thing. Matt Gaetz is Matt Gaetz. And the thing about Matt Gaetz is he doesn't know when to keep his mouth shut. So one of the things that immediately, like, made even other Republicans super suspicious, Tucker Carlson decided to let him come on his show and basically gave him the floor to try and defend himself. Now, already that's sus on itself, but I mean, it is Tucker Carlson, so, you know.
He wants to defend his people.
And here's what happened. See, first of all, the first thing that became very clear when you listen to Matt Gaetz is, Okay, he seemed, first of all, he's not denying that the event happened. Instead,
yeah, the major problem of this whole thing?
Yeah, he's not denying that this happened. Instead, what he's trying to do is he's trying to set up this, essentially this, that he's in the center of an extortion scheme.
Doesn't happen for innocent people.
Yeah. Extortion or blackmail, something like that. And it was, I think it was to the tune of like $25 million, I think was the sum that he gave. He said that it got so bad that his father actually had started wearing a wire for the FBI, which, by the way, definitely something you want to do if one of your relatives is, you know, trying to wear a wire for the FBI is saying it on national television.
Yeah.
That's just, that's a good idea. And then he kept calling her a 17-year-old woman.
Yeah, remind people what the age of consent in Florida is.
Shit, I actually don't know, because it actually changes.
It's 18.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. That's
The controversy here.
Yeah, I had to think about it because, you know, down here in the South,
I assume most states are 16.
Yeah, down here in the South especially, it can be as low as 16, but there's like a weird like Romeo and Juliet laws and stuff that'll happen where it's like, say like she's 16 and the dude is like maybe 18 or something, you know, the law will look the other way. But Matt Gaetz is 38 years old.
I was going to say, if I didn't know his age, and I was like, he seems he's like 37, 38, like that type of asshole.
Yeah, he's 38.
So 20 and years then, senior.
Yeah, he kept trying to call her a 17-year-old woman. It was a very much him trying to, like, I guess, deflect into other things where he's trying to make himself out to be a victim. But here's where he went very wrong. He tried to rope Tucker into this shit.
Yeah.
He said that, you know, during the interview, he said, like, you know, I'm not the only person on the screen who's been accused of, you know, improprieties with women. And it's like, dude, if you're trying to get Tucker on your side, you kind of don't want to drag him into this with you.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, keep in mind, Tucker, there are very recent accusations against Tucker that have been around for a while, all the way up to like this year. But one,
he, surprising for him.
Yeah. Of course, the only one he admitted to was the one that happened from like 20 years ago, from a woman who was supposedly mentally ill or something or whatever. But the thing is, he kept on it. You know, he even says like, hey, do you remember? He's like, hey, Tucker, you even remember this girl? Remember me and my wife? And, you know, we all went to dinner at your house. And it's like, I don't recall that happening. Yeah.
Even at the end saying it was the weirdest interview he's ever been part of.
Yeah.
Which is saying something for this guy.
Yeah. So again, that was the point where everybody's like, okay, there might actually be something to this. Now, furthermore, it's actually come out that apparently he had a habit of showing pictures of naked women that he apparently had slept with to his fellow congressman.
Yeah, that's one of those things that comes out and you're like, that seems like when there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
Like if he's so cavalier, like, I'll get a look at this woman I slept with.
Yeah.
Even though it seemed like most people didn't give a shit.
Also, if apparently this seems to be a pattern and that some of these individuals were underage, wouldn't that technically mean that he's also trafficking in child pornography?
Yeah, if he's that stupid.
This is Matt Gaetz, so... Yeah. But here's the thing. Have you ever actually, like, looked at Matt Gaetz's stuff on, like, his Twitter and Facebook pages? Because here's the thing. You're welcome. Because here's the thing. The dude's a massive creep.
Wait, like, you're saying this dude that looks like corporate grown-up, what is it, Butthead?
Yeah.
That's the joke, is that he looks like grown-up Butthead, but as a corporate dude.
He's basically like the bad guy from like every 80s teen movie you ever saw. Taking human
tear form. Down the community center.
Yeah.
He's not making guy. Any money.
Yeah, the jock, that guy. That's Matt Gaetz. And now we found out that he apparently used both Apple Pay and Cash App to pay for these encounters, which now means that he's also engaged in prostitution. So we got another charge to put on there.
Really smart is using easily tracked services to pay for this stuff because you're super lazy.
Yeah. Like, dude, if you're at a... Look, dude.
That's why you use cash.
Yeah, like, in spite of whatever moral or ethical implications you might see to, like, getting the services from a prostitute, you don't use credit, dude. You use cash. Hard cash.
You don't use the apps on your phone.
You fucking moron.
That kind of asshole.
Yeah. Keep in mind that apparently he's also not made it a secret that he's apparently been thinking of leaving Congress soon to, like, work for, like, OAN or Fox or, you know, like, a lobbyist or something like that, and made it very, like, open that he was open to doing that. And that seems to coincide when this comes out. And apparently, according to some recent talk from the Daily Mail, apparently his arrest may seem imminent, since apparently, accordingly, a grand jury heard either the girl mentioned here or one of the girls he slept with has testified before a grand jury that he slept with her when she was under 18. So it kind of looks like it's only a matter of time until we end up seeing this dude in cuffs.
Yeah.
And it couldn't have happened to a nicer fucking person.
Oh, yeah.
You've heard, like, it's like people like of like, you know, congressional staff and like privately are celebrating his downfall because they fucking hate the guy.
Yeah, I saw one of his aides has just resigned because they don't want to deal with him anymore.
It's like, yeah, fuck this guy. I can't take this crap anymore. But yeah. So that is Matt Gaetz, our primary asshole of the week, but unfortunately he's not our only one. Because this literally just happened today. A 25-year-old gentleman ended up ramming his car into the barricade out in front of the US Capitol, where he then I think he tried to attack the cops with a knife, which then ended up him getting shot. He apparently managed to kill one other cop and injured another.
Into two officers. One died.
Yeah.
As a result.
And exactly what his motives were, the police have said they don't think this is like a terrorism-related thing because from like social media and stuff, it seems like this guy had some serious mental health issues. He had essentially, because of COVID, he had lost his business or something, and he'd become like homeless or something, and he'd started having delusions about how the government was like trying to mind control him or something.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Apparently he was also either a member or devotee of the Nation of Islam. And he had said that, you know, he said that my faith is in the fact that Louis Farrakhan is the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. Now, Louis Farrakhan is an absolute dirtbag for a number of reasons, but he's never actually claimed to be the reincarnation of Jesus. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like this dude had some serious delusions, and unfortunately, because, you know, we don't really treat people with mental health issues very well in this country, and we apparently don't seem to take mental health very seriously in this country, this ultimately ended with a man who had a violent psychotic episode and shouldn't, you know, is now dead when he shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but fortunately, it's not all bad. We do have some heroes of the week to speak of. For one thing, the Pentagon recently announced this week that they now have new transgender inclusive policies for those that want to serve in the military.
Yep. This is pretty nice. These new rules go into effect April 30th.
Mm-hmm.
Among them includes the military now provides service members a process by which they may transition gender while serving.
Mm-hmm.
A service member may not be involuntarily discharged or denied reenlistment solely on the basis of gender identity. Procedures will be developed for changing a service member's gender marker. And the Defense Health Agency will develop clinical practice guidelines to support the medical treatment of service members diagnosed with gender dysphoria. Yeah, they announced that the other day when it was International Transgender Day of Visibility.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Very good. And as you could guess, the usual suspects weren't happy, but you know what? Fuck them.
Yeah.
We don't even have to give them the attention. So
if they're not joining the military, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, they can shut the fuck up. And also, we've got some good news from Supreme Court, because for those who don't know, there's apparently a case before the Supreme Court now about how, you know, the NCAA trying to make arguments for why it doesn't pay its players.
Yeah.
And, of course, this is shit that's been going on for many, many years now. And, well, turns out SCOTUS actually had nothing to say about it, which basically is a sign that, yeah, these fuckers are so wrong we can't even acknowledge it.
Well, they had nothing good to say.
Yeah, they had nothing they had good plenty to say. Oh, they had plenty to say, yeah.
Because they were talking to... Let me see who they were talking to specifically. Those representing the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
I forget. It's not mentioned here, but... basically talking to them about this stuff. The case is NCAA versus Alston. It seemed like no matter which side of the aisle they were on, they pretty much had disdain for the way the NCAA was kind of claiming their amateur stuff was more important than getting paid. Clarence Thomas here. It strikes me as odd that coaches' salaries have ballooned, and they are in the amateur ranks, as are the players.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Kavanaugh and Samuel Alito also got to talk. Kavanaugh said the antitrust laws should not be a cover for exploitation of the student athletes, to pay no salaries to the workers who are making the schools billions of dollars on the theory that consumers want the schools to pay their workers nothing seems entirely circular and even somewhat disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
Alito said, let me put on the table some of what is said about your idea of amateurism. The brief submitted in support of the respondents painted a pretty stark picture. They argue that colleges with powerhouse football and basketball programs are really exploiting the students that they recruit. Even Amy Coney Barrett also got in on this.
Yeah.
I'd like to return to Justice Alito's question, in which he said tuitions and all of these educational benefits really are a form of pay. When you answered and you said he does not get paid, because he NCAA defines pay as the reasonable necessary expenses to obtain education. But I'm wondering, why does the NCAA get to define what pay is?
Exactly. And when you've got all of the conservative justices basically allied against you,
and are on the same side as the liberals.
Yeah, you done fucked up.
Yeah.
So look forward to the NCAA basically going to be forced to have to actually finally pay their athletes sometime fairly soon.
Yeah, at some point.
Yeah, and it'll probably reverberate through all college sports. So,
yeah.
Good work. All right. So, with that out of the way, it is now time to start the proper show proper. And we start with some news from the Biden administration. So, it's no secret right now that anti-Asian violence has really caught sort of the national consciousness. Obviously, I mean, you can... Anybody that you know is Asian that has, and I happen to know a few people who are Asian, who, it's been going on since, you know, COVID started, that, you know, have felt, I mean, it started out as like, yeah, we feel distinctly uncomfortable, but they weren't quite threatened. Now they do genuinely feel threatened.
Yeah.
And you know, that thing that happened in Atlanta is not the end of it. There's been other incidents since then. And here's the thing you got to understand. The Asian American community, and obviously I don't want to put this as like painting it as a wide brush because it's definitely not true all over. But generally the Asian American community doesn't like to stand out all that much. They kind of want to just remain below the radar and just get on with their lives.
Yeah, and stay out of politics and all that.
Yeah, just genuinely, you know, build up their families and whatever.
But I think the kids now are realizing that was a bad idea.
Yeah. There is like, you're right, there is kind of a generational thing to this also.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, President Biden and the administration have announced some new actions to combat anti-Asian violence in the United States.
Yeah, this concerns the Department of Justice, saying the Department of Justice will initiate community outreach to address gaps in hate crimes reporting, while the FBI will publish a new interactive hate crime page dedicated to anti-Asian hate crimes. The DOJ will also update its hate crimes website accessible in Chinese, Korean, Tagalog, and Vietnamese.
Yep.
The FBI will work to improve data collection and prior reporting systems, hold nationwide civil rights training events with state and local law enforcement on recognizing anti-Asian bias, which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They will, allocate about $49.5 million from the American Rescue Plan to a new grant program for community-based culturally specific services for survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault, particularly those who face barriers like language access. So
mm-hmm.
Some of that COVID-19 money stuff will go towards helping out in some of these areas as well.
Yeah. And I'm glad.
Yeah.
So that wasn't the only thing we got from the Biden administration. They also revealed the $2 trillion infrastructure plan going forward. Yeah. That's going to be funded by increased corporate taxes.
Yeah.
And
they are going to raise it to 28%,
mm-hmm.
which is about half as high as what it was before the Republican tax cuts of 2017 that lowered it to 21%.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, mentions, let's see, a bunch of spending for electric vehicle investments, $115 billion for bridges and roads, $20 billion to improve road safety, $85 billion for existing public transit. I know the Amtrak stuff is supposed to get a huge bump in funding that would allow them to build new lines and enhance existing lines and all that kind of stuff.
That's like a Biden pet project because he's like he is one of the biggest advocates for Amtrak in the United States.
Yeah, and it would be at least a decent way to allow people to maybe live out more in the suburbs and outer parts of the cities they work in, and be able to get in without necessarily needing to use a car.
Yeah. Hopefully update the tracks so they're not as rickety. I've known people who've occasionally taken Amtrak rides, and the one thing they all complain about is that you can basically feel your teeth vibrating after stepping off one of those things.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's like $80 billion for railways, $50 billion for infrastructure resilience improvements.
Yeah.
$25 billion for airports, some money for waterways and ports of entry.
Mm-hmm.
$20 billion to reconnect urban neighborhoods cut off by highways, which if you look into the history of highways, a lot of them were built to separate cities, segregate them.
There's a book called The Power Broker. It's about a guy named Robert Moses. Look it up.
Yeah.
He's basically the godfather of redlining.
Yeah. Let's see. There's much money going to removing lead pipes, modernizing water systems, high-speed broadband for, I assume, like municipal broadband. $100 billion for electric grid and clean energy. $16 billion for putting hundreds of thousands of people to work in union jobs, plugging oil and gas wells, and restoring, reclaiming abandoned mines. $10 billion for a civilian climate corps. A bunch of money for affordable housing, school construction, community colleges, childcare facilities, the hospitals, federal buildings,
yeah,
all kind of stuff, renovating and building new ones if they need it.
Did you see that interview that Christy Noem gave where she showed that she clearly did not know what the definition of infrastructure was supposed to be?
No.
Yeah, she was on, I think it was Fox, and she was like, you know, I looked at this bill and I was shocked because they said it was supposed to be for infrastructure, but they're going for hospitals and airports and all of this, and this is an infrastructure. Bitch, that's what infrastructure is.
Yeah, it's literally the way we travel.
Yeah.
Whether it's ground, air, water, whatever. One thing I've seen of her this week is when she was getting offended by Lil Nas X's
Montero
and his Satan shoes.
Yeah. Which is hilarious because, for one thing, I love that song. That song is very good. And I love the video, too, because of how just balls-to-the-wall crazy it is. And it shows how much of a fucking marketing genius he is, because he made this video, and it was like, for the whole week, it was almost nothing the conservatives could talk about except that.
Yeah, because like he said the whole thing was that he's been told, you know, all his like teenage life that, you know, he would be going to hell if he was gay.
Yeah.
He knew that he was. So like kind of flipping around like, okay, I'm going to hell. It's twerk for the devil, you know.
Yeah.
More ridiculous shit like that.
It was like, gays go to hell. He's like, all right. I went to hell. It's like, wait, no, you can't do that. Not like that. It was funny.
How dare he sit there and give a lap dance to the devil like we said he would.
Yeah. All right. So next up, the Derek Chauvin murder trial has been going on this week. And if the jury follows through, he is so fucked.
Yeah.
Because, look, like I said at the top of the show, I know what a defense attorney's job is. You know it. I know it. Even if it's someone as malodorous as Derek Chauvin, he has a right to a defense attorney, and they have a job to do.
Yeah.
The dude does not have much of a fucking defense to stand on.
No, it's trying to, you know, make these like people that were witnesses at the scene, make them out to be too emotional or too angry or whatever, that, you know, Chauvin was distracted.
Yeah. And because that's literally the only, yeah, because that's literally really the only like semi-logical angle they can go for.
Yeah.
Because every other way you look at that, that dude is a fucking murderer.
Yeah.
Like
the mixed martial artist guy that was also a bouncer. He's like, oh, you said this to him. He's like, is that what you heard? He's like, yeah, that's what you heard, then that's what I said. And he's like, oh, it's, you know, you called him a fucking pussy-ass bitch. He's like, is that what you heard? He's like, well, you got to answer the question. He's like, if that's what you heard, then that's what you heard. Mm. You know, like, trying to keep his composure because he's just trying to make him angry and, you know, do all that kind of shit to him.
That's literally
all you got is to try to paint these witnesses as, you know, unreliable.
Yeah, God. Oh, I'm hoping it is very obvious that Derek Chauvin is guilty as sin, and I hope the jury ends up finding him guilty, and I hope that the judge ends up throwing the fucking book at him, because if they don't, it's gonna make last summer look like fucking Woodstock.
Yeah, especially when I think they had cops on for today, and basically saying, like, yeah, that's not what we train the officers to do.
No. Even when the fucking police force that you work on is throwing you under the bus, that's...
Which I'd imagine these guys, they were part of this whole shit with George Floyd. Probably part of the warrior training type shit.
Yeah.
Which is some fucking over the top. Oh, they're out to get you, man. You got to know how to fight back. And it's like,
yeah,
most people have, you know, are not a threat in any way.
Yeah. If you've ever asked, like, just a local cop what the majority of their job is, and they'll tell you know what most of my job is? It's sitting at a desk with paperwork. That's what most of my job is.
Paperwork and driving.
Yeah. and occasionally pulling over a spear. That's it. But, yeah, so we'll see how that turns out. In other news, the Ever Given, you know, that enormous fucking shipping container vessel that got stuck in the Suez Canal, it has been freed.
Yep. Finally free.
So what did they eventually have to do to get this thing, to dislodge this fucking thing?
It was a lot of digging out the sides of the river, the banks and all that, to give them some leeway to move, and then had a flotilla of tugboats, as well as the rising of the tides to help get it loose.
Mm-hmm.
I got that done on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, finally able to start working on getting through the backlog of ships that stuck around.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't just go around the southern part of Africa there, which disrupted, you know, a huge amount of maritime traffic. But yeah, that's good for all the shit that was on the on the ships.
Yeah, they were losing like millions of dollars like every second that thing was blocking the canal that way. So
It says $9 billion a day.
Yep.
Global trade and strained supply chains.
Basically ground to a halt because of it. Yeah. Yeah. So next up, we got a story from everybody's favorite dumbass in Congress, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who unfortunately is from my state. She introduced a bill to fire Dr. Fauci, which obviously ain't going to happen. Yeah. And she also released a CrossFit video, which showed that she has really fucking bad form.
Yeah. And
like, so much so that CrossFit themselves had to come in and say, yeah, don't try and do it like this. You will hurt yourself.
Yeah, so the bill is called the hashtag Fire Fauci Act, which will slash the salary of Dr. Anthony Fauci to $0. And that he would get paid that until they have a replacement, which it's never going to get taken up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But then she posted this video of her exercising, saying, "This is my COVID protection. Hashtag make America healthy again. It's time to hashtag fire Fauci." Her doing this shit, and people didn't know what CrossFit looks like. It's a lot of ridiculous shit because it's a whole weird thing. Competition, kind of like competitive shit. We're supposed to be kind of like well-rounded, I guess,
mm-hmm.
in a sense of being able to do a variety of different kinds of exercises and shit. Going over like obstacle courses that when they have those big events.
Yep.
To which a lot of people just like, you might be okay because one, you're in your own room staying by yourself. As far as COVID is concerned, I think one guy's like, well, I'm a trainer, and well, you don't have to worry about getting COVID because you're going to kill yourself with this before then. But also, the CrossFit people specifically called her out on this, saying CrossFit supports respectful, fact-based political dialogue to address our common challenges. We strongly oppose the loathsome and dangerous lies attributed to Ms. Green. Last month, I think, because she keeps bringing up she was a part-time personal trainer in 2012 for opening a gym of her own, which is a CrossFit gym. And we probably also mentioned that CrossFit as a community is very heavily her type of people.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of anti-vaxxers, anti-science people, all that kind of shit, which makes sense because I've seen a lot of people that, you know what they're doing in these fields. How about, like, CrossFit's kind of really shit for you. Because you can really just fuck up your wrists and your joints and all this kind of shit. And, you know, the CrossFit people are like, you only do this kind of shit in the actual competitions. You shouldn't be doing it as your daily training. That kind of stuff. And if the CrossFit community is telling you to go fuck off, you know you're really off the deep end. So, yeah, that's her whole shit.
Yeah.
She continues to show why she probably shouldn't be in Congress in the first place.
Yeah. It does seem like the only reason she's in there is to get attention. Like, she really hasn't done much of anything that actually, you know, you would associate with trying to be a congressperson.
Yeah. It was like the whole thing where she was talking about Guam as like a separate country, and the representative from Guam that's in Congress, you know, paid a visit to her office, and she unfortunately wasn't there.
Thank God.
Yeah, but like her aides were very much like, oh yeah, hey, you know, being really nice. Like they brought the National Guard from Guam, mm-hmm. stationed with him. It's like, hey, we brought some, you know, stuff for you guys, cookies and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, let's actually talk, and so you don't keep saying this stupid shit.
Yeah. Because
you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And also, she won her seat because they essentially threatened her opponents out of their
into quitting.
Running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is 100% true.
Seems like it should be illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe not in Georgia because of Kemp's laws.
Yeah, so nice segue, by the way. So for those of you who don't know, a rather Jim Crow-ish voting suppression bill was passed by my state's ill-gotten governor, Brian Kemp. Now they're reaping the whirlwind because, among other things, the CEO of Delta Airlines basically slammed the voting bill and, you know, made light that, you know, they might be thinking about taking their business elsewhere. And so the Georgia House GOP voted to revoke Delta's tax breaks.
Yeah. The thing
Good
that
job,
might help them out is the state Senate is not taking this up, at least for the time being.
Yeah.
This is the end of their year.
Yeah.
So they get a little break here. It's like a spring break kind of thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows if they're going to actually take it up later. But like a lot of these states, essentially the state GOP have been taking anybody that's critical of, you know, Trump or any of that stuff, have taken to like censuring them. This is similar, it seems like, in that vein.
Mm-hmm.
I think what Delta is like, what the number 3 or 4 employer in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. It's like, oh, that's a great job, like alienating one of your biggest employers in the state.
Yeah. Speaking of which, the Major League Baseball decided to pull the All-Star game from Atlanta in protest of this shit.
Yeah. The one's going to happen this summer.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, I'm not sure if they've announced who the new one's going to be. Yeah, next year's is still playing for L.A. for the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, the MLB said, let's see, over the last week, we've engaged in thoughtful conversation with clubs, former and current players, Player Association, the Players Alliance, among others, to listen to their views. The commissioner, Rob Manfred, said, I have decided that the best way to demonstrate our values as a sport is by relocating this year's All-Star Game and MLB Draft. Major League Baseball fundamentally supports voting rights for all Americans and opposes restrictions to the ballot box. Mm-hmm. 2020, MLB became the first professional sports league to join the nonpartisan Civic Alliance. How about a future in which everyone participates in shaping the United States? And they keep going on. And then the Braves said they're deeply disappointed by the outcome. It's neither our decision nor our recommendation. We are saddened that fans will not be able to see this event in our city. Braves organization will continue to stress the importance of equal voting opportunities. And we had hoped our city would use this event as a platform to enhance discussion. City has always been known as a uniter in divided times, and we will miss the opportunity to address issues that are important to the community.
Yeah. So,
but also, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure they had spoken much before that anyway.
Yeah. More or less.
It's like, Coke came late to the party, like, speaking against it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, great job, guys. You know, you're one of the top companies in the States. You just set it out until everybody else had a say.
Yeah.
Great job. Those people are very critical about their political donations to lots of GOP people.
Mm-hmm.
Like saying, hey, maybe you guys shouldn't do that when they're pulling this kind of shit that you say you're against.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But yeah, I would not be surprised if we ended up hearing from some more, Georgia-based businesses getting in on this. Maybe someone like William Street, and Adult Swim.
Yeah.
Will probably say something about this at some point, because, I mean, that whole particular business, I mean, it's like, it's very, there's a lot of African Americans who work for them, so.
Yeah. Oh, Kemp is also quoted on here.
Of course he is, because he can't keep his goddamn mouth shut. He
says, I will not back down, Georgians will not be bullied, we'll continue to stand up for secure, accessible, fair elections. Earlier today, I spoke with the leadership of the Atlanta Braves, who informed me they do not support the MLB's decision. I was like, yeah.
No,
well, so
dude.
I'm pretty sure the owners of the Atlanta Braves, I would not be surprised if they are Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's most teams, because that's where a lot of people that are obscenely rich come from. Well, the principal owners are Liberty Media. Is a mass media company.
Mm.
Are they're the ones that own Formula One, Sirius XM.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Didn't Turner used to own them? Okay.
Yeah, Ted Turner used to own the Braves. He used to own a lot of stuff here.
And he decided to fuck off, I guess.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, yeah, moving on from there, the Center for Disease Control announced this week that fully vaccinated people can safely travel again.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Just what you're going to have reason, what kind of reasons you'll have to travel may change, but who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's, good news. I think the CDC put out guidelines for, like, hey, here's safe ways to do Easter this year.
Mm-hmm.
All that kind of stuff. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, just keep doing your thing, getting your vaccine shots, get your appointments, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll be able to get back to as close to a normal life as we used to have.
Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, I'm still getting ready to schedule mine, so yeah. All right, so with that, we're now moving on to the entertainment part of the show. Starting off with the Disney Company, because they just shook up its upcoming Disney Marvel releases, partly due to the fact that their most recent release really massively underperformed.
Yeah, they've also got, they're still like finalizing their theater plans. That kind of stuff, because they've, the two kind of centerpieces of this are Black Widow and Cruella, which are now going to premiere on Disney Plus at the same time they open in theaters. Cruella is still going to arrive as scheduled on May 28th. Black Widow has been pushed from May 7th to July 9th. Those are both premiere access titles on Disney Plus, so they'll be $30 to rent it on top of your monthly fee. I assume they'll be on Disney Plus proper later in the year.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like Black Widow moved into what was Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings slot.
Mm-hmm.
So that has moved to September 3rd. That is expected to have a traditional theatrical release.
Yep.
Pixar's animated movie Luca won't be in theaters. When it launches on June 18th, it'll be on Disney Plus exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
Which I imagine that's because Soul did really well for him.
Yep.
Let's see. Yeah, a lot of their smaller titles still going to come to theaters. Especially the Fox stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Has been postponed. But will still be at theaters for you guys August 13th. The King's Man is December 22nd. Deepwater, January 14th. Death on the Nile is February 11th of next year. So, yeah, making some changes there. And a couple of other big ones are getting a little boost with Disney Plus premiere or access, that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I'm curious to see Luca here in 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, Raya and the Last Dragon, which was their most recent, like, big animated offering, because they decided to, you know, charge $30 for the fucking thing, it massively underperformed.
Yeah. Which means its real launch will be when it hits Disney Plus proper.
Yeah. Which is sad, because I don't think Raya and the Last Dragon is a bad movie. I don't even think it's mediocre. Its one issue is that it's way too dense for its time, for the length of time it has to tell its story. So,
yeah,
you know, it's got a lot of exposition.
Yeah, let's see. That one did $23 million in the U.S. in box office and $71 million globally.
Yeah.
Which is all right.
It's all right, but for an animated Disney feature, that's not good enough. Yeah.
Yeah. But you kind of have to take what you can get at this point until things are back to normal, though Hollywood still doesn't know when that could be.
Yeah.
They're hoping it's this year, but who knows?
I'll see, I guess. All right. So moving on from there, Sony has delayed the new Resident Evil movie's release.
Yeah, the full title is Resident Evil: Welcome to Raccoon City, which I guess it's a title you can have. It seems like a title you have to differentiate it from the original Resident Evil. But yeah, it's was previously set for September 3rd, which was gonna coincide with Shang-Chi. Or no, currently would be setting going aside that Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Mm-hmm.
So they're delaying it to November 24th. Can it get out of the way of an MCU release?
Mm-hmm.
Which it's wild that is still, that's coming out in, what, 5 months? Mm-hmm. We have not seen a trailer for Shang-Chi. Yeah, Sony, I think, has pushed a couple other things around, but it's like a week for most of them, so I didn't really bother putting them in here. Like the Uncharted movies move in a week, and I think Venom 2 also a week. The Mortal Kombat movie got pushed a week.
Yeah.
Like some small stuff here, but still.
Yeah.
Things are moving a little bit.
Yeah. As for the next DCU movie, well, we know that Black Adam will be out July 29th, 2022. That's next year. So next summer. Yeah.
The Rock had a big whole video on his, Instagram showing a whole, like, Times Square thing where he had, like, all the video screens showing off this little teaser video.
Yep.
That then showed the dates. Before one of the NCAA tournament games the other day. So that'll be interesting to see more of that, see how it goes.
All right. All right, we'll see where that goes. We now know that from the Godzilla vs. Kong director, a CG Thundercats movie is in the works.
Yeah.
So Godzilla vs. Kong is, it's out now, and apparently from what I've heard, it's a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Thundercats, apparently they're trying to bring that back again.
Yeah, I think this was a project they were trying to do a while ago, but shelved it. And now have a director they want to do it, Adam Wingard. So yeah, this could be neat. I never liked the show originally. Not watching it originally, so coming back to it much later, it's like, this is very slow and boring. So yeah, I would hope it does well.
We'll see, I guess.
Yeah.
We now know that John Woo, who is famously one of the most over-the-top filmmakers of all time, is producing a live-action adaptation of Stan Lee's Monkey Master property. Monkey Master, of course, is referring to monkey-style kung fu.
Yeah. Yeah, based on kind of the Chinese legend of the Monkey King, kind of stuff like that. Yeah, so they are working on that. I don't know, there's not too much more about it. Just, I was just explaining the property, because story that Stan Lee created with a collaborator, Sharad Devarajan.
Mm-hmm.
And how he was like very fascinated by Chinese and Indian mm-hmm. culture, mythology, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. That was neat.
Something that Comics haven't tapped into as much as they maybe should, because there's a lot of crazy stuff
Western
there.
Comics, at least.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you, Japanese manga, whoo, they have plied through it quite a bit. Yeah. But yeah.
I think I've heard from people who are Indian are very much like, yeah, this is like an MCU in itself, their whole mythology.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of cool stuff there, so.
Yeah.
It'd be cool if this helps kickstart some good stuff around that kind of mythology.
Oh, yeah. So, next up, we got a couple of stories from Netflix. First and foremost, did you see Knives Out?
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that movie was fantastic. So fantastic that Netflix has bought the rights to the sequels for $450 million.
Yeah, for Knives Out 2 and Knives Out 3.
Mm-hmm.
Because that first movie was just kind of a single property project. Distributed by Lionsgate. Did really well, $311 million on a $40 million budget. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was a single picture deal between the production company that Rian Johnson has, and so that they're kind of free agents, and Netflix swooped in and paid a shitload of money for the sequels.
Mm.
Rian Johnson's returning to direct, Daniel Craig to star in it as his ridiculous detective character.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, give me more of that ridiculousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And finally, Netflix released their first trailer for the story of Yasuke, the anime. For those who don't know who Yasuke was, he was a real, actual individual. He was a African slave who was serving under a Jesuit priest. And at some point or other, Oda Nobunaga got wind of this guy and was impressed by him and brought him under his service as a retainer. Gave him a sword and everything. He actually fought in battle with him. He's a fascinating figure, and I hope the anime does him justice.
Yeah, and they definitely go very anime with it, because there's lots of supernatural stuff that's in this trailer.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, if you want that, this looks like it will do that for you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And apparently Flying Lotus does the soundtrack, which is apparently awesome. So there's that.
Yeah. That'll be out April 29th, pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll see how that does. And I do believe that wraps up the show for this week. Yep. Yeah, it does. All right. So, yeah. I would like to remind our listeners, if you got a question, comment, or you want something you want us to see on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We'll have it linked for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. So, with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Chris Elogi has been with me this week. Hopefully next week we'll have a larger crowd for you, but we certainly didn't want for stories this week. That's for friggin' sure.
Yeah.
And hopefully by this time next week I will have finally gotten the schedule for my first shot. You know, cross your fingers and knock on wood. So with that, I would like to tell you here at Let's Weekend, good night, sleep tight, and don't wait to get your fucking shot. Go ahead and get that shit scheduled as soon as you can, because it will be worth it, I promise you.